Good morning. This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the December 11th, 2024 meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners Credit Committee. This meeting is also being made available via live teleconference for public access. Val Langasamy, Assistant Director of Technology, will provide information on this combined in-person and telephonic meeting.
Thank you, Sarah. Good morning. This is Val Lingasamy, Assistant Director of IT at Rhode Island Housing. This meeting will be recorded and available for review on the Rhode Island Housing website within 3 to 5 business days after the meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing staff, all callers will be muted during the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, please mute your telephones if you are not speaking. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties with audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-429-1430. Thank you.
Thank you, Val. This is Corinne Myers speaking, General Counsel. Members of the public can visit the RI Housing website to view today's agenda and each of the actions being taken. If the teleconference is interrupted, we will stop the meeting until audio can be restored. Committee Chairman Kevin Orth will preside at this morning's meeting. Commissioners and staff, please do state your name prior to speaking each and every time for the benefit of those listening in by teleconference. With that, I will turn it over to the committee chair to call the meeting to order.
Thank you, Corinne. It's now 9:31, and I call the December 11th Credit Committee meeting to order. Carol, would you please take attendance?
Commissioner Barry.
Here.
Commissioner Designee Weber.
Here.
Commissioner Orth.
Here.
Commissioner Designee Cabral.
Here.
Great. Thank you. The first agenda item is approval of minutes of the Credit Committee meeting held on November 6, 2024. Seconded. Any questions, changes, or comments, or anything? Could you please take a vote?
Of course. All those in favor of approving the minutes of the Credit Committee meeting held on November 6, 2024, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Okay, we've got three ayes and one recusal, and the motion is approved. Thank you.
Thank you. Agenda item number two is recommendation for firm approval of financing for the Flynn project located in Providence.
Yes, good morning. My name is
Antonio. Is going to present.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you. My name is Antonio Giordano, the Real Estate Development Officer with Rhode Island Housing. The name of the project is the Flynn 4% low-income housing tax credit conduit transaction located in Providence. The developer is Marathon Development, LLC, who has recently completed the construction of both Copley Chambers 2 and 3 in Providence. The development is the new construction of 178 units of affordable housing, as well as 10,000 square feet of ground floor commercial space. All 178 dwelling units will be financed under the low-income housing tax credit program, and 71% of the units will be 2 3-bedroom units targeting families, and the balance will be 1-bedroom units. This request for action is for firm approval of Rhode Island Housing Mortgage Finance Corporation tax-exempt financing in an amount not to exceed $38 million, of which $19,105,000 will remain as permanent debt, and a capital magnet fund loan in the amount not to exceed of $999,000, and a year A2 loan in an amount not to exceed $10,470,000. This is a conduit transaction where Citizens Bank will provide the capital for Rhode Island Housing's tax-exempt issuance. The proceeds will be loaned as construction loan to the borrower in order to minimize the amount of tax-exempt funding. Citizens will provide a taxable tail in the amount of $6 million to support a total construction of $44 million. The funding for the construction loan is non-recourse to Rhode Island Housing. Newmark Capital will act as a DUS lender to provide permanent loan in conjunction with Freddie Mac. Upon completion, Freddie Mac will step in as the permanent loan lender, and Newmark will service the permanent loan on behalf of Freddie Mac, who will bear the financial risk should the borrower default on the permanent loan. Since preliminary approval from the Board of Commissioners on September 19, 2024, the developer has started construction, the foundations are in, and the first floor of steel is erected. The developer has closed on their two loans with the City of Providence and is using city funds to cover the current construction disbursements. The capital stack included $13.9 million in state low-income housing tax credit equity. Since then, The developer has submitted an ERA 2 application in order to replace the state low-income housing tax credit equity and increase their deferred fee to cover the remaining funding gap. In addition, the developer has submitted an amended request for the state low-income housing tax credit to reduce the deferred fee, but is prepared to close with the higher fee. The low-income housing tax credit syndicator will be CREA, which will purchase the 4% low-income housing tax credits at 89 cents, and CREA's investors are Citizens and Aetna CVS. This will be Aetna CVS's first low-income housing tax investment in Rhode Island. The project conforms to the Rhode Island Housing Standards of Underwriting. Both the construction loan and permanent loan are underwritten to their respective lenders' requirements, which are generally consistent with the requirements of Rhode Island Housing. If you have any questions, I'll do my best to answer them. Thank you.
Questions?
Citizens basically is acting as the conduit transaction and will be providing in total the $6 million and the $38 million. So they're actually doing a $44 million in total. The Newmont Capital piece will be providing the permanent loan, and that will be for the 19-105.
Okay. And then the equity investment is Citizens or CVS?
Is it a combination between CVS and Aetna?
Yeah, they're both. Yeah.
CVS, Aetna, no, I just think that's really interesting when I was reading it yesterday. Oh, sorry, this is Rebecca. And I was wondering if there is that a program that's available that they're conducting? Is there some sort of health dimension to it? Will there be some sort of health services programming associated with it, or is this just an initiative to support housing in the local geography?
Right now, it's to support housing.
Okay.
Housing.
This is the first time you asked it here.
They have
another place,
oh, is that right?
But the first time in Rhode Island.
Yeah, first time.
Okay.
I think, to your point, it is very attractive because of its location immediately adjacent to the hospital.
That's what I was wondering.
And
yeah.
I think, you know, the idea, too, is that maybe some of the folks who are employed at the hospital, which is a big struggle for the hospital corporations to find places for them to live, might be able to live here and, you know, walk to work every day.
Thank you.
Very exciting.
But there is some type of partnership with Community Health Center on this.
Yes.
Yes.
The leasing space.
Part of the commercial space will be rented out to them.
Right. Okay. So we're putting in about $10 million of the RA2 funds.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they've got a $6 million deferred fee. So what is supposed to be repaid the ERA 2 fund at 50% surplus cash, right?
No, ERA 2 is specific for 50% or lower units.
Right.
It's a grant program, and it needs to be expended prior to next September.
Okay.
Because this is a great candidate because there are a significant number of 50% or less units and the building's already in construction, so we'll be able to spend that money much more rapidly than some projects that are not yet closed or not able to move ahead.
Just looking at the production guide posted by us with the NOFA, November, and it says under Section 7, it does say to the extent available, these loans will be repaid through 50% of surplus cash. So is that incorrect? Or?
ERA 2 is a new investment that became available as a result of the state not being able to spend the money.
Right.
Well, I don't know that. Was it put out with the NOFA? I don't know.
I just pulled up on the website. It says right here.
On our website?
Yeah.
And the program guys do have that. The draft documents right now does have that clause in for surplus cash. You know, we also have other funding in here. So sometimes we switch depending on which one we'll identify as.
But I don't think we've got another $10 million.
No. Some of the other sources.
Okay. So are we getting the money back or are we not getting the money back, I guess?
I don't know.
I don't think we're expecting to get the money back. This was just a pass-through from the state to us to get the money out the door because of the timeline. And this program, you know, kind of came about in the past couple months.
Right.
So, you know, we've got a lot of pressure to get the money out the door.
Right.
And there's, you know, there's probably about $15 million that needs to be spent before next September. This,
right.
Being able to put this out in a huge chunk like this is tremendously beneficial.
Right. Just to be very clear, this amount of money is pretty significant. Okay. Questions? Corinne, take a
look. Happy to. All those in favor of recommending firm approval of financing for the Flynn and Providence as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have four affirmative votes, and the motion is approved. Thank you.
All right. Agenda item number three is recommendation for authorization to issue tax-exempt loan to support construction of in the amount of $38 million. So just had that presentation for the prior agenda item, but I'm here, you'll...
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Glad to. Tying into the previous resolution, this request for action seeks approval of the issuance of Rhode Island House and tax-exempt bonds in a not-to-exceed amount of $38 million for a tax-exempt private placement transaction with Citizens Bank. This request is for the Flynn, which is a 4% part of the overall transaction, providing 178 units that are at or below 80% area median income. Rhode Island Housing will issue the tax-exempt note to Citizens Bank and advance the loan proceeds to the borrower with our standard obligations. The borrower loan and note will be assigned to Citizens Bank, and Rhode Island Housing will receive a one-time origination fee of 1% of the principal amount plus an annual servicing fee. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Great, thank you. Motion. Great, there. Okay. All right, perfect. Any comments or questions about this one? I think we just went through it. On board? Okay. Good. Corinne, would you take a vote?
Of course. All those in favor of recommending the authorization to issue a tax exempt loan to support construction of the Flynn, the amount of $38 million, please say aye.
All right.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. I think we have four affirmative votes, and so the motion's approved.
Great, thank you. We will now go to item number four, which is recommendation for firm approval of tax-exempt financing for Broad Street homes located in Central Falls.
Seth,
you're going to take this one?
I'm the winner on this one.
All righty.
Good morning. This is Seth St. Jean. The project is Broad Street Homes, and the developer is One Neighborhood Builders. The request is for firm approval of tax-exempt financing of $12.5 million, of which $2,663,000 will remain as a permanent reshared first mortgage. There also is DHU and CRP funding that we're also requesting in resolution. One Neighborhood Builders and the City of Central Falls have partnered to develop 46 new units in downtown Central Falls. The site includes a historic former police station, a blighted Dunkin' Donuts, which has recently been demolished, and a vacant municipal parking lot. All 46 units will be fully affordable to households at or below 60% of AMI, of which 5 will be restricted to households at or below 30% of area median income. These units will be supported by HPF ELI operating funds, and units will range from efficiency to 3 bedrooms. Since March 2024, consolidated round award, total development costs have increased by approximately $1.97 million. This was mainly attributed to construction cost increases due to unsuitable and contaminated soils that are on the sites. Stop costs have also increased largely due to architectural fees. There has been a few redesigns since then due to changes from panel build construction back to stick build construction, which, you know, necessitated a redesign. They also went from 44 units up to 46 units, which also, you know, added to the architectural cost there. The developer also encountered higher builder risk insurance, which is something we've seen on a lot of these developments to date. Our design construction team has evaluated the current proposed schedule values and determined that the current pricing is consistent with what we're seeing on other deals. To fund the increases, the developer was able to increase their first mortgage. They're also able to secure slightly higher pricing from the syndicator, Percadia, who is projecting 0.908 per credit. The investor will be Webster Bank and will also participate as a construction lender. One update to note, subsequent to the credit committee package going out, we've received an updated 50% bond test, which necessitates $13.5 million instead of $12.5 in bonds. The amended request will be included in the upcoming board package ahead of next week's meeting. Other than that, the project conforms with around housing underwriting standards with the exception of the bridge loan test, but once we are at the $13.5 million, The tax-exempt loan is the minimum required to meet the 50% bond test to generate the 4% credits. Happy to answer any questions.
Thanks, sir. I have a motion.
Rebecca, so moved.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Second,
Sarah. Great, thank you. Questions? Go ahead, Rebecca, please.
Thank you. Seth, thank you for your presentation. I know that this project has gotten some attention because of the relatively higher cost of subsidy per unit. You just gave a really comprehensive overview, so I just wanted to make sure I understood. Encountered some unexpected conditions in the soil, some architectural changes, the number of units changed, the type of application changed, insurance risk. I was just wondering if you could say a little more. You said that's a market issue.
Yeah, I think on a lot of deals right now, sorry, this is our finishing. On a lot of deals right now, we're seeing builders' risk insurance being a lot higher on the deals. So, you know, when they go to preliminary and when they finally go to firm, we're seeing that number trend upward. I know we've done a lot of research on that internally with some groups at Rhode Island Housing. So, yeah, we could, you know, share more if you're interested in what we've been seeing.
Yeah, I think I'm interested, not that there should be a ceiling to that rate at some level, but it's, like if that's going to be a significant cost driver over time, I just wonder if we start helping tackle that. Thank you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Not much end in sight either.
No, and you know, an issue not just in the development phase, but the life of the operation as well.
Right.
You know, property and casualty insurance and all the rest, you know, increasing rapidly as well.
The cost is $572,000 a unit. That might be perhaps the most expensive we've ever seen. And it's, I know that we don't, I believe we don't have a limit on the DAH2 funds, which are the bulk of the soft money going in. But we do in our QAP, in our developer's handbook, do mention a cap or a reasonable upper limit to cost of $450,000 a unit. And in the developer's handbook, I know this is a hybrid deal as a upper limit for mill conversions at least of $469,000 a unit. So even at that, this is over $100,000 a unit more than what we say is a reasonable upper limit. So I think in our write-ups, this to me, this is clearly something that does not meet underwriting. So it should be highlighted. And I would like to see the formal explanation of why staff is proposing to go beyond, well beyond what we say are the reasonable upper limits.
That's reasonable.
I would, on the positive side, I would like to say I appreciate that they made up for this latest increase with hard debt and tax credit equity and did not come back for more soft money.
Yeah, and I would just, there are a number of members of folks from One Neighborhood Builders, I would give them the credit for getting a lot done in a very short period of time to, you know, work with the architect to add two more units back into this, so we're getting a little bit more bang for the buck, and, you know, deal with a lot of changes in a very short time period and turn this around. It was not an easy thing, and I, you know, to do it without asking for more soft money is,
right.
You know, that's the way we love everybody to operate.
Right, definitely.
Thank you.
Definitely. All right, so I guess we'll take a vote on, I'm just to be clear, I'm not going to be in favor of this, but I'm assuming that we'll be able to take care of this by the board meeting next week. So Corinne, would you please take a vote?
Yes. All those in favor of recommending firm approval of tax-exempt financing for Broad Street Homes in Central Falls as presented, please say aye.
I'm saying in order for me to say yes, if you approve this at the board meeting, I need to see an explanation that justifies that increased cost.
Yeah,
but
I think that would be helpful for everyone.
You want to table it?
You just want to table it then?
I feel like it is a lot. I'm sure it's all justified, but
yes, it's a lot. It is a lot.
Okay. Then we'll just table this and
okay. We
come back to approve it next week.
Okay.
Okay. Great. Move on to agenda item 5, which is recommendation of low-income housing tax credits and financing for the villages at Vanville.
And Trevor will be presenting that today.
Trevor Kane. This request for action is for firm approval of the reservation of up to $1,344,000 of 2024 and/or 2025 LIHTC credits. A Rhode Island Housing taxable permanent risk shared first mortgage loan in an amount up to $4,775,000. In addition, we're requesting subsidies in the form of a home loan, HTF loan, Rhode Island rebounds loan, DH2 loan, and middle income loan, all for the villages at Manville or TVM. TVM received revised preliminary approval from the Board of Commissioners on May 16th of this year. The soft subsidy per unit is $131,000. This development will add 72 units of rental housing in Lincoln, and the 72 units will be in three separate buildings. 57 will be LIHTC units with rents up to 60% AMI, and 15 will be up to 80% AMI. Of the 57 LIHTC units, 8 will be set aside for households with incomes below 30% of AMI, and they will be supported by Rhode Island Housing Section 811 vouchers. Connolly and Partners is the developer, and they're replacing the original developer, Dakota Partners. Dakota was preparing to close in the second quarter of 2023 when it experienced some delays, and since the revised approval in May of this year, they have decided to sell the interest in TVM to Connolly and Partners. Connolly is a subsidiary of First Hartford Corporation, which is a publicly traded company. First Hartford has extensive experience with over 300 multifamily properties and over 12,000 units. Connolly has selected Parasol Builders as the general contractor. And due primarily to the passage of time and the shift to using a third-party contractor, total development costs have increased by approximately $1.25 million. And this has been primarily covered by increasing the first mortgage amount. The underwriting conforms with Rhode Island housing standards. Bank of America will be the LIHTC investor at 92 cents a credit, and they will also provide the construction loan. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Trevor. Motion on this item. Are you recusing?
I'll recuse myself.
All right.
Second, Rebecca.
Great. Thanks, Rebecca.
Comments?
This is taking a lot of twists and turns.
Hopefully no more.
Yeah. But yes. But it looks like it will be a great addition to that neighborhood.
Great community.
Yeah, yeah. And at a reasonable cost per unit, too. I don't have any other questions. Actually, one question. I'm not familiar with the first Hartford Realty. I know you show that the management company is a low risk. So I assume investigated them, have the requisite experience.
They have extensive experience, just not specifically with Rhode Island housing and in the Rhode Island market.
Okay.
So that's why we gave them that rating. But they have over 800 units that they've developed in and around here, total of 340 that they manage for other companies, 1,200 that they manage for themselves. So they have, in terms of development and property management under the First Hartford umbrella, have extensive experience in the multifamily market.
Okay. Questions? Would you please take a vote?
Yes, happy to. All those in favor of recommending firm approval of a reservation of low-income housing tax credits and financing for the villages at Manville located in Lincoln, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Noting one recusal by Commissioner Barry and three votes in the affirmative, the motion is approved.
Great, thank you. So agenda item number 6, which is recommendation for preliminary approval financing for West End 3, Cadence Providence.
Danny will
Daniel? Okay.
Daniel Palmer, this request for action for preliminary approval for Rhode Island Housing to Bulls Finance Corporation, Texas Inc. financing in an amount not to exceed $8 million, of which $1,375,000 will remain as a permanent first mortgage for West End 3. Women's Development Corporation is the developer. Development, which includes the rehabilitation and preservation of 47 affordable housing apartments located in the Elmwood and West End neighborhoods of Providence. The development combines the West End Preservation Apartment and the historic West End 2 Apartment, which will be merged into a newly formed borrower entity. The development is comprised of 19 individual buildings spread amongst the Elmwood and West End neighborhoods, all within a half-mile radius of each other. Of the 47 units, 31 will be restricted to households earning up to 60% area median income. 9 units will be restricted to households earning 50% of AMI, and 7 units will be restricted to households earning up to 30% of AMI. The 47 units are comprised of 22 two-bedroom, 23 bedroom, and 5 four-bedroom units. Interior and exterior renovations are anticipated to include, at a minimum, roofing, siding replacements, insulation, hot water boilers and heaters, unit upgrades including new kitchens and baths, fire code compliance, exterior lighting and security cameras with remote monitoring capabilities. Since many of the buildings are in a historic district, the developer's ability to make exterior repairs has been limited. Accordingly, the city has cited the buildings for the deteriorating conditions. If, as anticipated, the properties are awarded federal historic credit, particular attention will be paid to the exterior siding and windows. There is approximately $1,640,000 of existing Rhode Island Housing debt plus accrued interest on the property. The existing debt includes a Rhode Island Housing targeted loan, among other loans. As part of the approval process, staff has determined that the development and sponsor meet Rhode Island Housing's requirement for rollover of existing debt. This includes being current on first mortgage or in compliance with the forbearance agreement, no outstanding monitoring findings, and no history of significant monitoring findings. Demonstrated responsible long-term ownership and management of the property, an equity paying schedule satisfactory to Rhode Island Housing, maximization of amortizing debt able to be supported by the property, and borrower will provide guarantees to cover any deficit or shortfall. This RFA requests preliminary approval on the amount not to exceed $8 million in taxes and financing, of which an amount not to exceed $1,375,000 will remain as permanent debt for the development known as SN3, subject to certain conditions as outlined in the attached resolution. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much.
So moved, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah. Great. Comments or questions, though? Rebecca?
Thank you. This is Rebecca. Thank you for the presentation. Question, maybe I just missed it. Are the units currently occupied?
Yes, they are.
They are. So what happens with the folks as the comprehensive renovations happen?
They do have a preliminary relocation plan.
Okay.
They are going to hire a relocation specialist. I think this one is out of Boston that specializes in that. So that will be taken care of.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds complicated. Thank you.
Note that the total development cost is $458,000 a unit. Our developer's handbook, I think, says $269,000 is the upper limit for ACRE have. Is that, does that go against our underwriting?
The this project is one of the older projects that had been in our pipeline. So with the, roughly over 30 years, approaching 30 years. These are very complicated buildings. The rehab is difficult. A lot of the units don't have closets in some of them and such. Plus, it's historic properties, and that's adding to the cost. A lot of the work is done exterior. They can't replace the existing materials, so they have to paint them all the time, and that definitely adds to the cost here.
So we need to justify the cost, I think, over our limit.
We have looked at the cost. We think it's justifiable, given all the things that need to be done. These are very old and tired properties. Tony, do you want to add anything to West End 3's on the construction side?
Tony Box, this is Director of Design and Construction. Yeah, we did look at this development like we do with the same lens as we any other deal. There is a CNA that was submitted. It's in line, you know, construction that's required under the CNA. And CNA has to go out positively for 20 years, and they're basically just making these buildings are, like 15 sets. They're very historic and they're fairly rough condition. I think several times we tried to refinance these buildings, and we've never been able to achieve it. So I think once we're following that CNA, it's our blueprint, that's what's driving the course and telling us what to do.
And so the last time these were renovated was over 30 years ago?
Yeah.
They have never had a comprehensive renovation. As Tony said, they've been, the development has made multiple attempts over the years and hadn't been able to put a deal together, largely because of the the nature of the work that needs to get done and the cost associated with it. So, you know, there's a lot of deferred work to be done here, and just anecdotally being said, the units are kind of funky and kind of weirdly. They're I don't know if people have driven by, but they're, you know, the storage structure is beautiful, but not meant for multifamily when they were built 100 plus years ago. So to get them to where our standards need to be, it's going to require some investment.
Okay. About the level of operating expenses per unit.
So we did look at their current operating expenses compared to the pro forma. Actually, they're projecting a little bit higher level expense because of, I think they've rolled in some, the increased rents relates to the increased management fees too, so it's a little bit high, but it's certainly aligned with 5 to 6% of
the amount. What is the level per unit?
Including taxes and insurance, it's about $10,000 a year.
So it's on the high side.
It's
scattered site historic. Is that in line with a scattered site historic? Yeah. Okay.
And I think these are these Section 8, Mike. Are these? They have contracts.
We have 16
project based voucher. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a bit of turnover stuff.
Yeah. To see if we can get the cost down.
Everybody
would like to see that.
As Tony mentioned, this is Dean Harrison. As Tony mentioned, we do CNA for these developments to last another 20 years. And that really drives up the cost because that's what we want to make sure everything gets replaced as we can. Upfront investment and then make sure there's enough funding as we go on. As you know, these also carry a higher replacement reserve, $2,000 a unit.
Right.
That adds to the cost up.
Right.
And also has obviously the operating expenses. I think we've done a good job using the capital needs assessment to help judge the total cost for this construction of the rehab of West End 3.
Okay. Thank you. Maybe some pictures, something would be helpful too.
Yeah.
I mean, just doing a drive-by, they look pretty nice.
Yeah.
But I imagine the insides are probably beat up.
The insides are beat up, and, you know, you can't rip off all the siding and re-side it.
Yeah.
If it's historic. So, those,
right.
You know, the exterior, while it looks nice, has probably been painted 10 times in the past 30 years.
Oh.
You know, and it's...
Doesn't hold paint
as well, you know.
Yeah. I mean, this is Dean Harrison. In the unit mix, it's two, threes, and four bedrooms.
Right.
So they naturally take
a
lot of wear and tear.
Yeah.
And this is anecdotal, but it's something that Dean and I happen to know. For whatever reason, there are a lot of mobile vouchers from the Province Housing Authority that tend to get housed in here. I'm sorry, folks who are on the mobile voucher list, and then when they get their voucher, they move out.
Oh,
so there's a lot of churn in this particular development. I think it's a great location. It's a good spot, but people tend to get their voucher and then take it elsewhere.
All right.
Probably because it's not as nice.
It's not as new.
If you don't have a closet in your room, you would rather have a closet in your room. You know, simple things like that. And the kitchens are set up oddly, and they're just, you know, they've been retrofitted for a purpose that they were not intended, and, you know, we'd be able to solve number of those issues with this rehab.
Is that what they're looking for, to be able to be more permanent?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's the goal, right, to have a stable development. And I think, you know, both in terms of the long-term use of this site and making it a more livable place that people will want to remain, all of those things do cost money, and that's kind of where we're at. And, Tony's spoken well about it. We don't know in 15 years when people refinance this, you have a CNA that goes out 20 years to anticipate all the possible capital needs and try to get ahead of that. So you rip off the Band-Aid and do it all at once.
I think this is also one of those struggles where, you know, you probably could sell these and get a good sale price for these units, but then you're going to lose the affordable units. And that's something, you know, when these types of preservation deals come up or rehab type developments come up, that you have to weigh into. I mean, we don't want to lose any units of affordability. So I know that WDC is working to contain these and hopefully restore them so, you know, they remain affordable for another 30 years.
These are, you know, one of the most rapidly gentrifying neighborhoods in the city of Providence. And as Dean said, if put on the open market, it would probably command a fair price. But you're not going to then be able to put 46 units back into this neighborhood because of where we are. I mean, so all those things conspire to drive up the cost.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments or questions about this one?
I think after 30 years, what happens?
It needs.
We have done some work over time. We've had programs that we've used to try to, you know, mitigate lead in the property and, you know, try to make it more energy efficient, but with these huge windows and just beautiful, beautiful homes, but not necessarily.
Well, the systems all need up, you know.
Yeah.
Just want to, especially with the, also the rollover of all this debt, we want to make sure that this is a property that if we're dumping all this money into it, that it's going to be, you know, a very functional, attractive place for people to live and not something that they want to get out of as soon as they've got a voucher that can take them elsewhere. So, but that's the goal with this.
That's exactly what we're trying to do.
Okay.
One other question based on that. Is there something else that needs to happen here for, like, community building so people want to stay? Because it is nice to have nicer, but this seems like there's some reason this is rotating. So I don't know if there's something else that the organization can do to make it more of a community so that they can keep people there. Because it sounds like that would be a huge help.
You know, there's not a space for a community facility. I don't, you know, again, this is just what we happen to know because we used to manage it. So I think it's just one of those unique things that has that turnover because people tend to come up on the Providence list and get their vouchers and move out.
Go to other communities.
Right, I mean, we can just
city.
Across the street. Yeah. You know, I mean, there are also other opportunities in the neighborhood currently. But point well taken.
Corinne, would you please take a vote on this one?
Yes, of course. All those in favor of recommending preliminary approval of financing for West End 3 located in Providence as presented, please say aye.
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 Any opposed say nay. We have a unanimous vote and the motion's approved.
We'll see if we can't get some photos out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Recommendation of transfer of physical assets for the Department.
Dean Harrison will take that. Thank you. This request for action is an administrative action required under our general rules governing multifamily loan programs. This request for action is for the approval of the transfer of the limited partnership interest in the Heritage Village Apartments. Heritage Village Apartments is a 204-unit affordable family development located in North Kingstown. The owner of the development is Heritage Preservation Associates Limited Partnership, POA Heritage Apartments LLC, a Rhode Island corporation, holds 0.01 interest in the partnership. The current investor limited partner is NHTXXIV Tax Credit Fund LLC, which holds 99.99% interest in the limited partnership. The limited partner intends to withdraw and sell their partnership interest to Preservation of Affordable Housing LLC. Preservation of Affordable Housing, Inc., POA, is the sole shareholder of the general partner. POA will assume all existing obligations in covering the development. The initial compliance period ended back in 2022. POA Communities LLC is the current property manager. The owner and the management company are affiliated entities, but no changes in the management agent is No change in the management agent. Thank you.
Yes.
Sorry about that. We are requesting for approval of the following, the transfer of a limited partnership interest in the development. Happy to answer any questions.
A motion.
Rebecca.
Great, Rebecca.
Yes, as right. is usually out.
Yes, yep, all right. Hearing no questions, Corinne, would you please?
Of course. All those in favor of recommending approval of a transfer of physical assets for Heritage Village Apartments located in North Kingstown, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have another unanimous vote, and the motion is approved.
Great. Thank you. So that concludes all the agenda items.
Mr. Chair, before we move on, I want to make sure that I have the action to table recorded appropriately. Was that a unanimous vote to table the action? I think it was based on folks' nods, but you're nodding again. Okay, four. Thank you very much.
Do we have a pipeline report? We have went through a lot of deals.
Yeah. well, I can fill you in on a few things.
Like some of the closings or something?
Yeah, we have closed a few deals since November, beginning of November. We've been working on Dessa Street, which is supposed to go to record today, finally. They had some hiccups with the investor, but they've worked that all out. Parcel 9 is looking to close.
I think we're signaling that we could probably close next week if everything comes together, but there's still a few last-minute items that need to come together.
I just signed 30 documents, so hopefully we
Thank you, James.
Last month, in November, we closed Rental Farms, which is the senior housing located in North Kingston. Rosebrook and down in Newport County, we closed also. We've been very busy the last couple of months.
We should have quite a robust report in January once we have all the applications in, talk about what we got, how much was asked for, and what people are asking for.
Right.
Yeah.
I know a recent theme has been that syndicators dragging their feet on closings, which is something rather unusual to me. Is that something?
They're not mobilizing.
Is that they're waiting until you're getting right up to closing before getting their asset management folks involved and getting their due diligence done. I think that, I don't know, but I would think the thought is like, well, we want to make sure everybody else gets all their stuff done, then it's a real thing, and then we'll dive in. So in our conversations with folks who've been like, that, it doesn't work because then you hold up things at the 11th hour. We'd rather everybody kind of move in lockstep and do it all at the same time. So we're trying to put that message out to the syndicators we work with. And, thankfully, it's for the most part a group we're familiar with, and, we're open to having those conversations.
Do you think that it is due to anything in Rhode Island that was causing that? Or do you think that was just the syndicators, whether it's a deal in Washington State or here?
My understanding lately, who I've talked to, it's just countrywide. I mean, they are really looking to be the last one in, and they don't move until everybody seems to be willing to sign on the dotted line.
Yeah.
In Rosebrook, it did add at least a month to the closing time.
Rental Farm probably too.
Okay. Rental Farms too.
Do you think they're having trouble getting investors, and that's why they're holding back?
No,
they've identified the investors. I think it's hard to say. I think there's a certain amount of some of the folks too. I think who do some of the asset management stuff are maybe less experienced, and it takes them they're kind of figuring it out, and it takes them a little bit longer to get things done. But I think Dean's exactly right. I think they want everybody else to be okay, and then we'll come in and do our thing and bless the deal.
Could be part that they're busy just as we are, too, and I think that that's part of it. They focus on the ones that are ready to go. Even though we're committed to this deal, we'll work, you're ready to close, but until everybody's ready to close, they kind of just go along with us. It's frustrating, if anything.
Definitely.
I view it a little differently in that, syndicators are getting paid to help facilitate the deal, getting over the finish line, and the fee that they get for that, right? So they should be as involved as anyone supporting the investor and the rest of the team. So I think that you bringing it up makes a lot of sense. That should not be something that holds up deals, in my mind.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. Completely agreed. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, good. Anything else or any other questions?
Just circle back on what it is looking for the board meeting. I have cost justification on Broad Street and photos of West End to give you an idea of the condition of the property.
things that you were looking for.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ready to adjourn?
Okay.
All right.
So moved.
Great. Thank you.
Second.
All right.
All those in adjourning this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Those say nay. No, we have four votes to adjourn. Motion's approved.
Great.